We're in John, Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. We'll try to hurry along, knowing that we have communion at the end of the service tonight. It is my favorite part of any service when we are able to partake of the Lord's table and to remember what Christ has done for us through His death. We are looking at those texts where Christ identifies Himself. In the Gospel of John, there are seven times that Christ issues an I am statement. And we're not relegated to trying to figure out what the world says Christ is or what the church may deem Christ is. I saw this week that a church in Greenville, First Baptist Church in Greenville, has opened the doors to same-sex partners. They can join the church, they can be a part of the leadership of the church, they can be married there. All of that in the name of Christ being love and tolerance. But Christ here in the Gospel of John states who He is. He says, "I am the bread of life." He is that which we need for life. He is the giver of life. We cannot have eternal life without Christ. He is the light of the world. Last week we looked at Him being the door of the sheepfold. He not only gets us in the fold, but He also keeps us and protects us in the fold. And tonight we are going to look at His statement, "I am the good shepherd." Beginning in verse number 11 and reading through verse number 18 of the Gospel of John chapter 10. Christ says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for Your Word tonight. We pray, God, that You'd help us clearly see who You are, and God, that we would rejoice in what we have in You as Your children. You are the bread of life. You are the light of the world. You are the door to the sheepfold, and You are the good shepherd. So I pray tonight that we would and we would be able to rejoice in who You are. You are our shepherd. You are our Lord. You are our King. And God, I pray that You would clarify that for us tonight through Your Word. Speak to our hearts. Magnify Yourself in and through us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Jesus here claims to be the good shepherd. This is not somebody claiming that Jesus is the good shepherd. This is Christ himself claiming that he is the good shepherd. And all of the I am statements, of course, are present tense. It's not that he was the good shepherd or that he will be the good shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. And we know by comparison, if we were to compare Jesus to other people, particularly to those who are in positions of responsibility, whether they be parents or pastors or whoever, compared to anyone else, he is uniquely good. That is, he is good in a way that they are not. The word good here is in itself an interesting word because we get the idea that good here, if we look it up in the Greek, means to be beautiful, to be lovely, to be attractive, or even to possess all and whatever qualities make the object described a good thing or a good person a good person. It means excellence. He is the lovely shepherd. He is the attractive shepherd. He is the beautiful shepherd. He is the excellent shepherd. Moreover, the word also has a meaning of being genuine or true, as opposed to false and artificial. So when Christ says he is the good shepherd, he's saying he is the real shepherd. He is the true shepherd. He is the genuine shepherd. Good, beautiful, lovely, attractive, true, and genuine. We also understand that what Christ is claiming here is that he is exclusively the shepherd. For he doesn't say that he is a good shepherd. He says he is the good shepherd. He's not one of many, but he's the only one. Amen? He is the good shepherd. A shepherd. And there are other shepherds, of course, in the Bible, but he is the good shepherd. And there are under-shepherds, such as me, under shepherds to Christ, but we do not compare to him. He is the good shepherd, and there is no competition for him. You owe your allegiance to no one but Christ. Amen? No preacher, no priest, Christ. He is the good shepherd. Well, what does that mean when Christ says, I am the good shepherd? Well, as we walk through these few verses that we read tonight, we begin to discover what is involved in Christ being the good shepherd. Beginning with number one, the good shepherd forsakes his life for his sheep. The good shepherd forsakes his life for his sheep. Verse 11, 12, and 13 again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, a hireling can take the role of a shepherd, but he's not the shepherd. He's a hireling. A hireling, not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, but he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The good shepherd is not a hireling. Amen? The good shepherd forsakes his life, if necessary, for his sheep. Now notice his care for his sheep. He says here, a hireling does not care for the sheep. Therefore, a good shepherd, a shepherd, does care for the sheep. And the truth here is that a hireling is not a shepherd, and that he is not a shepherd because he is more concerned about himself than he is for the sheep. Right? When the hireling sees the wolf coming, the hireling abandons the sheep and hits the road, because he's concerned about himself more than he is concerned about the sheep. He is concerned that the wolf may attack him. And so he abandons the sheep and lets the sheep fall in between him and the wolf. Amen? He doesn't have to outrun the wolf. He just has to outrun the sheep. Amen? He cares for himself and he does not fend for the sheep. As a matter of fact, he leaves the sheep to fend for themselves, and they are defenseless animals. They have no hope against a wolf. He's not the shepherd because he doesn't care for the sheep. He leaves them. He abandons them when danger approaches. But Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Why? Because he does not leave the sheep. He does not leave the sheep to themselves. He loves the sheep. He cares for the sheep. The sheep have needs, and the shepherd cares about the sheep enough to give the sheep what they need. And the shepherd selflessly does for the sheep and not for himself. The prime concern of the shepherd is not for himself, it's for the sheep. Right? Anyone that cares more for themselves than the sheep is a hireling. But that one who does care for the sheep more than himself and demonstrates that care for the sheep over and beyond himself is a true shepherd. The shepherd, when the wolf comes, doesn't leave the sheep. Amen? He will, instead of being a hireling, the hireling let the sheep get in between him and the wolf. The shepherd gets in between the wolf and the sheep. Amen? He does what is necessary for the care of the sheep. And remember, elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus makes the promise of what? I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. No matter how bad things may get, no matter how dangerous territory we may be in, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Amen? He is our good shepherd. He cares for the sheep. The hireling cares for himself, but the good shepherd is the excellent shepherd that cares for the sheep. Not only does he care for the sheep, but he shows his commitment for the sheep. Now, how committed is a good shepherd to his sheep? This committed. He gives his life for them. Now, I don't know if we can get any more committed than that. Amen? Now, the Bible says a friend may die for a friend, but very rarely does one give up their life for someone else. Christ says here, I am the good shepherd, and what makes me the good shepherd is I give my life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The word lay there is a word of voluntary action. He voluntarily lays down his life to protect the sheep. It's not that he was suddenly overcome by the wolf and because he wasn't paying attention, the wolf got him. No, he purposely and voluntarily comes in between the wolf and the sheep and gives his own life so that the sheep may be protected. He protects for them and he provides for them at any and all cost, even the cost of his life. The shepherd is willing to die so that the sheep may live. And the shepherd may allow himself to be torn apart by the wolf so that the sheep may escape. The shepherd may die so that the sheep may go free. The shepherd may give up his life so that the sheep may live. There is no greater commitment than a shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. I thought about this week. You know, it seems that we're all trying desperately to run away from death, right? We try to do anything we can to get away from death. We go to the doctor, we take pills, we do all these things. We're trying to run away from death, get as far away from death as we can. But when you think about it, Jesus Christ came and he ran to death. He ran toward death for us so that we may be saved. If you really want to see the Good Shepherd, you have to see him as he journeys to Calvary. Every movement of Jesus Christ while he was on this earth is a movement toward the cross. And if you think about it, he does absolutely nothing, although he has the power to do something. He has the power to do something, yet he does nothing to avoid the cross. And instead of doing something to avoid the cross, he seems to just set his face toward the cross. And when he gets there, he just hands himself over to those who will nail him to the tree. And when you look toward Calvary and look toward the cross, you see the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the benefit of his flock. He dies for us. He doesn't run. He doesn't abandon the sheep. He dies for his sheep. He is the Good Shepherd because the Good Shepherd forsakes his life for his sheep. It is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, commitment to the sheep. Amen? When Christ came, he came as a committed Savior for you and me. So committed, he did not shun the cross. He did not shun the pain. He did not shun death. But he embraced it and he voluntarily laid down his life. They didn't take it from him. They didn't have to wrestle him on the cross and hold his arms down. He voluntarily died for us. A sacrifice. Why? Because he loves his sheep. Number two, not only is he the Good Shepherd because he forsakes his life for his sheep, but he's the Good Shepherd because he is familiar with his sheep. This is what he says in verse number 14 and 15. He once again makes the statement, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. How deep is the knowledge of God for us? As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep that he knows. Amen? Now notice here there is a mutual knowledge. I know my sheep and am known of mine. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The word here, know, means more than an intellectual awareness. It means an intimate relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. It's an intimate relationship between God and his people. It is not just a passing acquaintance. He knows his people. He knows his sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep personally. Why? Because they're his sheep. He has a personal relationship. And this personal relationship is a permanent relationship. There is not one sheep that the shepherd does not know personally. That when he looks into his into a group of sheep, he can pinpoint his sheep. He knows them that well. I know my sheep. Aren't you glad to know tonight God knows you? God knows you. It says here that he calls them. Calls them by name, doesn't he? I speak to my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. Our Lord knows them who are his. Now we may fool everybody, but God knows who his sheep are and who his sheep are not. And if you are his sheep, he cares about you and he knows you by name. We are his and we also know him. He says we know his voice and we'll follow. One of the marks of a true sheep is that you hear his voice and you follow his voice. And a stranger's voice we will not follow. You hear strange stuff. It sounds like strange stuff. You don't follow strange stuff. God's sheep don't follow strange voices. If it's not in here, you don't follow it. But if it's in here, if it's the voice of God, God's sheep don't have to be beaten to follow it. They follow the voice of God. My sheep know me. They hear my voice. They follow me. We know our shepherd and he knows us. And I want to say that's what it means to be saved. To be saved is not just to be rescued from an eternal hell. To be saved is to be in an intimate relationship with the shepherd. It is to know his voice and to obey his voice. And because he knows all of his sheep, he loses none of them. And his sheep don't change shepherds. Why would you change shepherds when there's not one better than him? Mutual knowledge. He knows his sheep know him. Amen? Not only mutual knowledge, but matchless knowledge. He says here that he knows the sheep as the Father knows him and as he knows the Father. Now, how well does God the Father know his Son? Perfectly. And how well does the Son know his Father? Perfectly. So therefore, how well does God know us? How well does Christ know us? Perfectly. His knowledge of us is a perfect knowledge. He is God. He knows all things. He knows everything about us. He knows our natures. He knows our needs. He said before we even ask, he knows what we have need of. Do you know that nothing you can do or nothing that you fail to do can take Jesus by surprise? He knows you. He knows you perfectly. Nothing that you can do, here's a great thing, nothing you can do or not do will ever diminish God's love for you. Why? He knows you. He knows you perfectly. Here's the thing. He knows everything about us and still loves us. If you knew everything about me, you would no longer love me. Right? Well, don't be so quick to agree to that. If I knew everything about you, I probably wouldn't love you either. But Jesus knows everything about us and yet still loves us. And he knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we are are liable to fail in our temptation. He knows the good and the bad. He knows my sins. He knows my propensity to wander from Him. He knows how easily I am distracted from the way. He knows how easily I doubt the truth. And yet, He dies for me, although He knows me. If He was to seek my advice, I'd say they're not worthy to die for. If you knew them, I can enlighten you a little bit on them. No, you can't enlighten God anything. He knows us. He knows how bad we are. He knows how wicked we are. Yet He says, I am the good shepherd. I know them. And even though my knowledge of them is perfect, I die for them. This junk that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to dish out on Sunday morning, that you were worthy. You were worthy of Christ dying for you. No, you weren't. Christ died for the unworthy. Christ died for the sinner. Christ died for the dirty. He died because He's the good shepherd, not because you're a good person to die for. Amen? What knowledge He has. He knows us, and yet He dies for us. He knows that even after He dies for us, even after He saves us, we're going to disappoint Him, and we're going to disobey Him, and yet He still loves us and dies for us. What an amazing good shepherd we have. Number three, the good shepherd finds his sheep. Verse 16, 17, and 18. And you sort of got to somehow, some way work this into your little theological box. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. In other words, I think, they're sheep that are not sheep yet. Work that in. Them I must also bring. And they, who are they? The sheep that He must bring, they hear My voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. No man take it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I have power to die, and I have power to live. There are other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I think that means, as He's speaking to a Jewish audience, that He has sheep that are Gentiles. And that probably didn't make them happy. There are other sheep in My fold besides just Jewish sheep. There are Gentile sheep who are My sheep. They just don't know it yet. I've got to let them know they're My sheep. And when they hear My voice, then they're going to come. And there will not be two folds. There will be one fold. And there will be one shepherd. Now, I don't know all about this end time stuff, this two ways, Jews have a way, Christians have a way. I don't believe that, right? I believe all of those that are in Christ are one fold. I don't believe this ultra dispensational idea that when we get to heaven there's going to be Jews that are ruling over Gentiles. The Bible tells me that in heaven there's neither Greek or neither Jew nor Greek, neither, amen, male or female, bond or slave. I think what Christ is doing through His shed blood is He's making one fold who are under one shepherd. Now, how does God pull that off? Well, He calls them through the gospel. He sent out His disciples. He sent Paul to the Gentiles. And what was Paul doing? Paul was preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel, sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is the answer for our sin sickness. and through the preaching of the gospel and through the proclamation of the gospel and through the proclamation of the word of God, God finds his sheep. God calls his sheep through the proclamation of the gospel. The question I have is, if in a church the gospel's never preached, how does God find sheep? It is through the gospel. It is through the proclamation of the word of God that God gives faith to those who will believe in Christ. Sheep are found through preaching and preaching of the word of God. Now, I want you to get this. Sheep don't find the shepherd. The shepherd finds the sheep. He says, I must, it is a necessity that I bring them. Amen? Where the good news of Jesus Christ is preached, God will find his sheep through it. That is why we should support missions that aim to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus will call his sheep in and through the proclaimed gospel. That's why we must make sure that the missionaries that we support on the field are proclaiming the true gospel and are in fact worthy of our support. Amen? I'm not interested in providing a monthly income for missionaries who are just making a career out of the mission field. I want to support people who are proclaiming and preaching the gospel so peradventure Jesus might find his sheep there. Amen? He calls his sheep through the gospel. And then secondly, he cultivates his sheep through his guidance. He doesn't just call his sheep, but he brings them and directs them into one fold and under one shepherd. These sheep are called and then they are unified together among other believers. One flock, one shepherd. Do you know tonight we are one flock under one shepherd? Do this. We all follow the same shepherd. Amen? You see, there's not supposed to be some follow the preacher and some follow the deacons and some follow the Lord. No, we all follow Christ. He is the shepherd. And where I digress from Christ, you need to digress from me. Yes? When I depart from the Bible, you need to depart from me. You're not following me, you're following Christ. He is the good shepherd, and I am supposed to, if I'm doing my responsibility well, I'm to point you to Christ, not to me. Now, you understand you never become a celebrity pastor that way. But who's interested in becoming a celebrity pastor? Amen? Never get to ride around in $67 million jets. But I can buy a $300 ticket and fly. Amen? We all follow the same shepherd. We all go the same direction. We all hear the same voice. We're all indwelt with the same spirit. We all have the same baptism. We all have the same faith. We're one fold. We're one flock. And we have one shepherd. Those he knows and those he calls, he intends to lead. A shepherd leads his sheep. Now, the idea that Christ saves you and then he just turns you loose to do whatever you want to do, there's no Bible for that. If he saves you, if he calls you to be in his flock and for him to be your shepherd, and he leads you and he guides you. And if you can't be led, then you're not his sheep. It's as simple as that. When we hear the clear teaching of the Word of God and we refuse to adhere to that, we have to wonder if we're His sheep. Amen? He leads us, He guides us, He directs us as His sheep. He is our head, He is our shepherd. We hear Him, we obey Him, we follow Him, and we do that together. Amen? Do you notice a shepherd just doesn't have one sheep? He has a flock. The truth here is that He is the authority. He has so much authority that He can lay His life down. Now, listen. We can't lay our life down. Right? We can take our life. But you and I just can't lay down and say, I'm done. Right? Go ahead, try it. Let's try it. Right now, will yourself to be gone. Ready? Can't do it. Why can't you do it? You don't have the authority to do that. Christ says, I have the authority to lay my life down. And I have the authority to take it up again. He has authority over life. He has authority over death. And He says here, I'm the one the Father loves, and the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I can take it again. We follow not some shallow, weak shepherd. We follow a shepherd that has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the authoritative good shepherd. And He has the power to lead us and to guide us and direct us in the right path. Amen? He is the good shepherd. And I don't know about you, but it all always feels pretty good to be His sheep. Amen? He's good. Dear Heavenly Father, would You bless the preaching of Your Word? Would You honor the reading of it? And God, would You use it to encourage us and to cause us to rejoice as Your sheep. May we jump with joy that we have such a good shepherd who forsakes His life for us, who finds us when we are lost. What a marvelous shepherd we have. And we thank You that that's true. Help us to rejoice in who we have in Christ. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.